B-Pod Studios.
Now, from PhillyVoice.com, our friend Jimmy Kemsky. What's going on there, Jimmy?
Like most 15-year-olds could kick my ass for sure.
Jimmy Kemsky joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Jimmy, this isn't the first time we've heard Doug kind of get condescending, a little condescending and sarcastic with the media.
Yeah.
I love that you know exactly what I'm talking about. So he comes out yesterday with Watch Film. Like, I'd love to sit you down and watch film. I don't think you need to be a football expert. Maybe you are. Maybe you could be a 15-year-old just learning football, playing Madden.
With a knife.
Knowing that you could roll your quarterback out from time to time, even on a 2nd and 7, or even worse. What did you make of the head coach's comments when he said that yesterday during the news conference?
Yeah, a couple things on that. First of all, the idea that football is this, you know, super complicated, only we can understand it game is ridiculous to me, first
sure.
of all. So I'm with you there. And then also, I guess his answer was kind of weird in that, you know, he noted that they had a lot of, like, 2nd and longs, like, you know, 2nd and more than 10, and their running game wasn't working on 1st down and that kind of thing. And am I going to call a play on 2nd? You know, am I going to call a rollout on 2nd and whatever? And I don't understand, like, why you wouldn't in those situations. Like, what's precluding you from doing that? And also, can't you get them on the move on 1st down to begin with? So I don't really understand his question. And also, I like when they say, well, we'd love to sit down with you and show you the film. Well, hey, I'll sign up for that tutorial all day of the week.
Right.
Show me. Go ahead. Let's do it. So, like, it was, he was clearly, like, not in the best mood yesterday. And understandably so, because of the way that the team played on Sunday, of course, and all the injuries they have. So, obviously a horrible start to the season for them. So, you know, not the most surprising thing to kind of see a head coach in a bad mood.
Let's focus on that, the weird answer for a second. And one of the reasons I thought it was a weird answer was because you knew your offensive line was struggling. You knew your quarterback was getting hit. You knew your quarterback himself was struggling, even in the times he did have time to throw in the pocket. Why not try to make an adjustment and get him outside a little bit more and make him, I don't know, maybe even the adjustment for quick passes, shorter routes, whatever it might have been. Why not make that adjustment if you're the head coach?
Yeah, so I guess I kind of hypothesized during the week that, you know, maybe his groin injury from training camp was bothering him. They didn't want to get him on the run.
Okay.
As a result of that. And then Elliot actually asked that question to Doug, you know, did you just not get him on the move because he's still, you know, not 100% from that. And he just gave a one-word answer. He just said no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was Brandon Gowton of Blue and Green Nation followed up with, okay, well, you know, why didn't you then? And then that's when he gave his weird answer. But, yeah, I apologize. What was the actual question?
why not help out your quarterback? If you see him struggling and you see the offensive line collapsing, why not say, hey, Carson, let's move you out, or maybe run the ball 1 or 2 more times, maybe shorter routes?
Yeah,
why not do that?
It was predictable that, you know, the offensive line was going to struggle heading into this game. Obviously, when you have 3 starters missing, you're playing 2 guys on the right side of the line and Nate Herbig and Jack Driscoll, who have combined 3 snaps over their career. So, you know, you knew they were going to struggle. So, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't do more of that. The run game wasn't working, so I don't fault them for getting away from that, especially once they, you know, got down in that game. They did try some screen plays. They were sniffed out pretty easily. Maybe, you know, the inexperienced offensive line has a lot to do with that. Screens are hard to run if you don't have an experienced unit because it takes a lot of timing and precision and, you know, sort of fooling the defense into coming up the field and then leaking out and getting blockers out in front or whatever. So I understand why that wouldn't work. But being like, it was really surprising to me that they didn't move the pocket. They didn't get Carson Wentz on the move a lot more. And I thought those questions by Elliott and Brandon were certainly valid.
And Jimmy, I'm not being a wise ass here. I'm really not. And I posed this earlier in the show that the question you guys asked all the right questions, and I guess it all boils down to if you put them all together, it's this. Doug, when you saw that the defensive line was pretty much owning your offensive line, what did you try to do differently? And I'm asking you, did you see him try to do anything differently? Because what you mentioned, screen passes weren't going to work.
Yeah.
Dropbacks weren't working. Doug mentioned 3 things: dropback, play action, screen. Well, none of those are going to work against a defensive line that's killing you. Did you see him try to do anything different?
Yeah, I mean, he just kept dropping the back. As you said, I mean, it was just a lot of 5 and 7 step drops. And Carson was just basically kind of a sitting duck back there. And obviously, he had a really bad game himself. So, I mean, when you look at, like, sort of placing the blame on that game, I think the three components were, you know, Doug, Carson, and the offensive line. The offensive line, I don't really put too much blame on because we knew they were going to struggle heading into this game. Doug, I think, didn't make enough adjustments during the game for sure. It's something he's been really good at over the course of his career, but was, you know, sort of misfired in week one. But Carson really had a bad game. He was really careless with the football, both in terms of, you know, throwing, you know, making some ill-advised throws. And then also the fumbles just, you know, they continue to be a big issue with him and his carelessness in the pocket with the football.
Speaking to Jimmy Kemsky, PhillyVoice.com, how would you rate the young wide receivers like Jalen Reagor, for instance, and John Hightower in their performance?
Excuse me, yeah. Reagor had the really nice play where he got down the field. I think it was a 55-yard gain. So you see that and you go, good, all right, you know, happy to see that. Like, I think he's fine. Like, he didn't run a good route on the out route. That was more of a bad throw than it was, you know, on Reagor. His throw was too far to the inside on the pass that was picked off by Fabian Moreau. So, you know, there's going to be things that he has to work out. But I think what you see from him is what we saw throughout camp is he can run. Like, he's got speed. He got behind the defense. Not only that one time, but a second time. He actually took blame for the second time he got behind the defense, which appeared to be an overthrow by Wentz. He said, no, I slowed up on that. I should have had that ball. So maybe we're looking at Carson Wentz's performance a little bit differently if that play's made, but it was left on the field. They didn't make it. But overall, I think, you know, what you see from Hightower there is what he's going to be in this offense, which is another deep threat down the field. Hightower was a little disappointing to me. So Hightower, yeah, I thought he had an outstanding camp. Like, I didn't see that guy drop anything in the way of passes all throughout camp. And then, you know, the second target that comes his way, he drops it. Doesn't give Wentz much help on the other interception that he threw. So, yeah, I thought he had a disappointing performance. I think you still got to get him right back out there and not allow him to sort of let that game fester and affect his confidence going forward. I think you give him an easy throw early. But, yeah, he was a little disappointing after the camp that he had.
I mean, when we talk about the speed that Reagor has, that Deshaun Jackson has, a lot of times it goes right to running past defenders. But my thing is, use that speed a little bit in the intermediate game, maybe on slants. We saw Reagor do it a lot in college. Does Doug not trust Carson, in your opinion, to make those type of throws, guys on a full run cutting across the field? Because we rarely see it. The only times we see things through the middle is usually with tight ends.
Yeah, they like to use Ertz in that area of the field. They did try to get the ball to the perimeter in that game on Sunday, where, you know, they get the ball quickly to the receiver and then they have another receiver out.
That play never works, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Never.
Well, it does for other teams.
Right, exactly.
But it hasn't recently for the Eagles. They got horrible blocking from their receivers on those plays on Sunday, so that's got to improve. But I think Rager's a guy that, you know, we saw his speed and his ability to get behind the defense, but he's also very good, at least in college he was, at getting yards after the catch, like, you know, making short catches and turning them into long gains after breaking tackles and such. So, yeah, I do think it makes sense to get him passes on, you know, these shorter slants and, you know, easy ways to get the ball in his hand to see if he can make a play. And I agree with you. I don't think they did enough of that. I don't think they did enough of the short, quick passing game. Especially, you know, as we noted already, the offensive line is struggling.
So, coming up this week, Aaron Donald's there, and I know he doesn't have a sack against the Eagles yet, but if he's going to continue to do against the Eagles what he did against the Rams, then against the Cowboys, then they're going to have to roll Carson out. They're going to have to go with quick passes. They're going to have to go with more of a running game. What's your confidence level they'll be able to defend against the likes of Aaron Donald on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's easier this week against that Rams defensive line because you have that one guy who's
right.
Just an absolute star. Like, he's probably the best defensive player in the game. Not probably, he is. Like, he's the best defensive player in the game. Whereas Washington was just, they're just really talented across the line and also, like, super deep. So I think they were sort of a bigger issue for, you know, an Eagles offensive line, again, that was missing three starters. Eagles are probably going to get Lane Johnson back this week. He practiced fully yesterday. That's a great sign. Miles Sanders practiced fully this week. That's a great sign because one of the underrated things about last week was, you know, when Sanders was ruled out on Saturday, you know, I bad on me. Like, I only thought of that as, okay, well, that's going to hurt their run game and not having him as a receiver. But he's also their best back in pass protection, so he's going to help a lot in that aspect if he can play this week. So I think they're better set up there to be able to protect Wentz better in this game. But yeah, I mean, Donald is a great player. You have Jason Kelce and Isaac Seumalo who are good starters. At right guard, kind of it's to be determined who's going to play there. My guess is they'll probably take Jack Driscoll, who started at right tackle, but move him inside to right guard. They got to give him a lot of help. They can't have one-on-one matchups on Aaron Donald on him, because Donald's just going to eat up a rookie all day. But yeah, for sure, like, you know, their game plan will revolve around, you know, stopping or at least slowing down Aaron Donald.
Jimmy, I want to take you to the other side of the ball real quick, and 27 points to Washington at face is not good. I understand field position. I understand the secondary played pretty well. But as a whole, what did you think of the defense? Because they, again, didn't come up with big plays, no turnovers, and pretty much let Washington score when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, so immediately after the game, you know, you look at, like, I looked at, like, the stat sheet, and you look at, you know, this really highly paid defensive line and all the, you know, big resources they put into the defensive line, both in free agency and the draft. With guys like Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, Fletcher Cox is the highest paid player on the team. If Malik Jackson, big contract. Javon Hargrave didn't play, big contract. Derek Barnett, first round pick, didn't play. So you have all these guys that, you know, are that you've used big time resources on. And, you know, Fletcher Cox had two tackles. Malik Jackson had two tackles. When I watched the game, when I like rewatched it, I thought they were a lot better than what I sort of perceived when the game ended. Like, Malik Jackson made a lot of like really nice plays in that game. Fletcher Cox was a little bit better than I thought he was. But you'd like to see those guys produce more than they did, surely. You know, they only had the, I believe it was just the one sack by Josh Sweat on the sack fumble. Or I'm sorry, no, they had three sacks in that game. One was by Sweat. I forget who the other two had. But all the guys that like they invested all these heavy resources in, you know, really didn't get, weren't able to get to the quarterback. One thing I also noticed was Dwayne Haskins actually was, he had the fastest snap to throw average in terms of like, I think it was like 2.3 something seconds on Sunday. So a big priority for them was to get the ball out quickly. And, you know, as you mentioned, all of their scoring drives occurred when they started their drives inside Eagles territory. So yeah, you're right. Like, they could have done a better job. Certainly in the red zone, they were 3-for-4 in the red zone. But yeah, I mean, I think it was really the offense that sort of set up those scoring drives for Washington.
Speaking with Jimmy Kemsky, go back to the offense for a second here with Carson Wentz. Who do you think is most in his ear? Because he talked yesterday about trying to learn when to throw it away and give up on a play and not take a sack and all that and not throw an interception maybe. But who's most in his ear trying to correct that mindset that he has where, oh, no, I can still make something out of this? Who's the guy that will be most in his ear to try to correct that?
Yeah, Doug got asked about that, and didn't really have a great answer for that either.
Yeah.
He was basically saying something to the effect of like, yeah, we just got to keep coaching it up. Like, hey, well, you know, it's been 5 years. Like,
yeah, right.
He came into the season leaving the NFL since 2016 with 48 fumbles. You know, now he's got two more. He's up to 50 fumbles for his career. Like, it's just unacceptable. Like, the one play that was really egregious to me was his first fumble where, you know, Chase Young beats JP on a spin move. Carson Wentz is able to shake him off initially. And Young, you know, falls to the ground. And Wentz just has the ball, like, hanging down with one hand. It's as if, like, Chase Young isn't going to get back up.
Right, right.
And continue to tackle. Young gets back up, swats the ball out of Wentz's hands. They were lucky that Jason Kelce was able to jump on the ball. Same thing happened, actually, in the Seahawks regular season game last year where, you know, a defender kind of came in, missed him, fell to the ground. Same thing. Wentz just sort of sidestepped him. Ball hanging way down with one hand. Guy gets back up, just knocks it out of his hands. Seahawks recover that one. That was a big play in that game. So it just it's okay if you make mistakes in the NFL, but when you just repeat them over and over again, somebody's got to get in his ass about it, and I just don't see that happening.
That's a better way to put it there,
wow.
Jimmy. It's a better way. That's what we need to see that.
It's aggressive.
The last thing I'll ask you is, what's your confidence level in a win on Sunday right now on this Thursday morning?
Yeah, so we mentioned the Aaron Donald matchup, and like we said, you know, they can – it's easier to handle one guy than it is to handle, you know, seven different guys that can get to the quarterback.
Right.
So I think they'll be okay there, or at least better than they were week one. But I think they actually match up with this team actually okay. Mm. So the Rams really, they want to be a run team. I think the perception sort of isn't that, but you know, they want to be able to run the ball first and foremost, because everything works off of that. Like, they get their play action game going, they get their boot game going, and it's they're a lot easier to defend if you can shut down the run. The Eagles obviously have always done a good job, or the last few years have done a really good job against the run defensively, and particularly with the type of running back that the Rams have. Like, their main running back right now is Malcolm Brown,
mm-hmm.
who's sort of like a bigger, like, non-athletic type guy.
Right.
They've always done a good job against those bigger backs. So if they can shut down the run early, you know, that really makes Jared Goff a much less effective quarterback if he doesn't have that run game working for him. You know, they ran it 40 times week one against the Cowboys in a close game, or like 31 times. So, yeah, I think it's actually a good matchup for the Eagles in that respect. And then offensively, you know, like we said, they'll be getting Lane Johnson back and Miles Sanders back. The line was initially like 2.5. The Eagles were favored by 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And that swung like immediately. Like, people pull that line and just like put money down on that like immediately.
Yeah.
It swung drastically to, you know, Rams are now favored by 1.5. But I actually think this is a game that the Eagles can and will win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty confident going into this one. Jimmy Kemsky, always great catching up with you, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much.